Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Well, Father, we thank you this morning. We want to just come before you and thank you for your precious word. We thank you for creation. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your awesomeness. And we have 30-some verses of Psalm 104 all about you as our creator. And when we think about creation and we think about you, we start to get a little bit bigger picture of who you are than maybe without that. And you are so huge, so big, and so in every way, Lord. And same thing with down to the microscopic things. You are there as well. So all sizes doesn't mean anything to you because you created it all. So we want to just worship you today in this psalm and help us to praise you and bless your name as we are told in this psalm of all of your creation work. And so guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this psalm starts the same way that the last one did. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So bless the Lord, O my soul. And then we read, O Lord my God, you are very great. And so when I got to that word, I thought, well, we're going to sing a song about God is great, some song. So anyway, I came up with this one, a very familiar song, you know, but let's sing it. The words are there on your chart. How great is our God?
Trembles out.
Well, Father, we do want to just acknowledge how great you are. And as we look at creation here, we can only see a little bit of the glimpse of the tops of the mountains, Lord, and the depths of the sea, really. But help us to recognize who you are and the miracle of creation. And Lord, we just want to totally drown out the worldview of evolution and all of those lies that has always attacked the creation. Because if we can get someone to doubt that you're the creator, then the whole Bible kind of falls apart, because you are the creator. And if we can't accept that and the miracle that that is, then we have a real tough time with the miracles in the Bible. So lead us now this morning and help us to praise you and bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Psalm 104. Now, Psalm 103 was, you remember, that was such a wonderful praise and thanksgiving song for his mercies last week, or psalm, I should say. Thanksgiving song, that's psalm. And today we have in creation, and now next week we'll move on in to for deliverance, but these are all praise and thanksgiving songs for what he has done. So beginning like he left, as in the last psalm, we think it's David, but it is no names ascribed to this, so you just say it's from the Lord. But bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Can you say that and mean that? O Lord my God, you are very great. And we sang this in this song this morning. Really, you are clothed with majesty. You are clothed with honor and majesty. That's who you are, enshrouded with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light. Now think of that. Light was given to us before there was any source of light in creation. And you know what they've discovered with black holes? It's amazing. They've discovered that black holes basically are where time has stopped. Now, for years, everything was based on 186,000 miles a second was the speed of time, speed of light. But now, you know, Einstein came up with the idea that it is all relative to mass. And now we know that actually light preceded matter. Think of that. If light precedes matter, evolution is all based on long time, right, to develop matter. It doesn't work that way. It's the other way. They're totally upside down. Of course, you know evolution is totally upside down anyway, so that comes as no surprise. But here, he is light. He covers himself with light. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. That was before the sun and the moon and all the sources that we look at light were even formed. And then who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. I don't know if any of you have sliding glass doors the old days, and then you'd have a curtain and you'd sweat. You know, it's pretty easy to stretch that out, isn't it? Well, that's harder than it is for him, I think. He just stretches all the heavens out like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. Now, I don't really can't comprehend exactly what all that means. But his upper chambers, the strength of those, they're in the waters. And did you know that the earth, if it was flat, had no mountains and no trenches, it would be covered with 6,000 feet of water. So when you see him creating land in creation, you start to see mountains come up. But now you got to keep this big sphere in balance. I don't know how many of you have ever balanced a tire on your car or watched them balance. They put little lead weights on them, right? Get it all balanced so it doesn't vibrate at all. Well, if God is going to raise up the Himalayas on one side, that'd kind of throw everything out of balance, wouldn't it? So he's got the Andes, and he's got the Grand Tetons, and he's got the Rockies and so forth on the other side. And then he puts this trench there. There's a trench, the Mariana Trench, as many of you know, off the Philippines, is more than 7 miles deep. It's the deepest place in the world. So that's where the water goes, and so now we have land and we have water, right? And it says God establishes the boundary. So other than a flood or something like that, the boundaries don't really change, do they? So he reads here, He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the water, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. We read that in Hebrews 1:7. So the angels are his ministering spirits, and his ministers are a flame of fire. Verse 5, you who laid the foundations of the earth. Now, you remember in Job 38, Job was going to ask God all these questions when he got in front of him. He's really going to put the questions to the Lord. Well, you remember, he didn't ask the Lord one question because he was so taken back. But the Lord asked him about, 77 questions or plus about that. He couldn't answer one of them. Just like you and I can't answer one of them. Where were you when he laid the foundation of the earth? Well, I don't know, but I know God didn't create it because I know better than that. Oh, really? No, you weren't there and you don't know anything. Really, man doesn't know anything on his own. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. In other words, it is stationary. It's not going to fly out of orbit. You know, it's amazing when you read the theory that God created everything and then he just wound it up and let it go and turned his back and has no more to do with it. Yet you can tell me exactly the second minute that the sunrise is going to rise any day in the future, this year, next year, 5 years from now or whatever, and because it's all exactly held together by him and it is in perfect accordance with his plan. And so we can decide where Mars is going to be, if we want to try to shoot something out there, where the moon is going to be. If you didn't know where the moon was going to be, it'd be kind of hard to hit it, wouldn't it? Oh, it's out there somewhere. I think I'll just take a shot at it, you know. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. So initially we have the waters over the earth, and then that changed as he created and separated the waters from the land. At your rebuke they fled. The voice of your thunder they hastened away. How many of you have seen the Grand Canyon? Isn't that a sight? That was all cut probably in a matter of a very, very, very short time. Not millions and millions of years. We saw that in Mount St. Helens, didn't we? We saw a canyon formed in a matter of less than a minute. The water come tearing down there. But at your rebuke, they fled. By the voice of your thunder, they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place where which you founded for them. You've set a boundary that they may not pass over. We know the coastline is pretty much unchanged. You've set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. Isn't that amazing? Springs, always fresh water in a spring. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Now, as we see the creation account here, we notice the interrelationship between God and the creation. He takes care of everybody. He gives the animals drink. He gives the animals food. It's just amazing when you think of how does God feed everybody? How does he give everybody water? But they give water to every beast in the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing, I love it, among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. Verse 14, he causes, and by the way, we can break this down into the days of creation if you want. Verses 2 and 3 are pretty much days 1 and 2. And then verses 3 through on down is, well, actually 19 begins verse day 4 and 24, day 5 and 27, day 6 and 31, day 7. If you want to try to tie that together, but you don't have to really be concerned about that. But this is laid out in the order of creation, really. So verse 14, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. So who allows man to bring forth the food from the earth? God. So when you eat today, every bite, just think where it came from. Now you may say, oh, it's the chef. Well, I don't think the chef created anything. He may have mixed some stuff together, but the ingredients are from the Lord, aren't they? And wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and that, I believe, is olive oil, and bread which strengthens man's heart. And then we read, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. And I was thinking about us. How full of sap are you? Not in a negative way, in a positive way. Without sap, that's life. Are you full of life? Are you full of life, spiritual life? The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted. Now notice, we love the cedars of Lebanon. They're like 2,000 years old or whatever they are. Who planted them? He did. Who caused them to grow? He did. Who kept them alive? He did. Cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nest. The stork has her home in fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. Have you ever seen a wild goat run on the side of the mountain? They move so fast. And how they keep from tumbling down, I have no idea. Except God made them that way. Where the birds make their nest, the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are for a refuge for the coonies or the rock badgers. Now, day four, he appointed the moon for seasons. I read one place where in Mexico they found this building had two holes in it. They couldn't figure out what the holes were for, but they started kind of watching through the holes. What do you see when you look through the holes? And when you can see the moon, that's the time to plant corn. Isn't it amazing? Maybe they know something. I don't know. Everybody knows something. I don't know. But here it says, he appoints the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You can look tomorrow and see exactly this time of the sunset, or today, or a week from tomorrow, or a month from tomorrow, or a year from tomorrow. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness, Lord, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. Isn't it amazing? The animals, who have very little, if any, education or ability to think, know where their food comes from. Most people don't. they don't act like it anyway. They aren't giving God thanks, you know. It's, oh, bless the grub, rub-a-dub-dub. You know, somebody will say, oh, I thank the Lord for my food. Well, I don't think that's the way you thank the Lord for your food, but here they seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes to his work. We see such a sad situation where men aren't working, or maybe they can't work. It's just, we're made to work. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. I've never seen a person satisfied with unemployment. Have anybody ever seen you satisfied for somebody who's on unemployment? I don't think so. I don't think it's possible to be satisfied with that. Verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works, fifth day of creation. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, the great and wide sea, in which are innumerable, teeming things, living both small and great. Just think about that. In the same water, you've got these mini shrimps, and then you've got the whales, you know, living in the same environment there. Some of them are greater depths than others because the Lord has designed them that way. Living things, both small and great, where the ships sail about. Where is that Leviathan, that giant monster, which you have made to play there? Now, day six, these all wait for you, that you give them their food in due season. When you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. hide your face, they are troubled. How true. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. But not those saved, right? That's the unsaved. That's our bodies dying to the dust, but not our real self. We will not die. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. And then the seventh day really is just praise and adoration. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. And now here's this last little stanza on praising and worshiping. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Amen? I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him again. Is my meditation sweet to him? May it be. I will be glad in the Lord. How many of you are glad this morning? I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. That will happen soon, right? Great tribulation, that's going to all be taken care of. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked no more. And then finally, bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Back to where we started again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Father, our minds go on overload so quickly when we think about creation. Just think about our own bodies. We think about an eye or an ear or a wrist or a shoulder or just anything. And it's just so amazing the way you have made us. The trillions of cells and continually replacing cells. I think 50,000 every 90 seconds or something like that. Just to think about all the cells being created just during the time that we read that psalm. So amazing, and everyone in each of our bodies has the same DNA, exactly the same, cannot be changed by anybody. And so, Lord, we shudder when we think of the world view right now in trying to change your laws, trying to come against creation as it always has, trying to come against the creation of man as it always has, trying to destroy the role of the husband, the role of the father, trying to destroy marriages itself, and then now even trying to destroy the identity of a person and the identity of the sexes, male and female, he created them. And we're trying to play God and change all that around and trying to tell people you can't determine whether you're male or female. And we think of, there's not a 3 or 4 or 5-year-old person that doesn't know that, and yet we're trying to just brainwash and all that. But you know all of these things. Help us to stand for what is true and right, and help us to use this morning's moments of prayer together as you would lead us by your Spirit, that we might join in one accord in agreeing with you and be praying in accordance with your perfect will. So lead us by your Spirit now in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Well, amen. Let's rise and sing, All Creatures of Our God and King. Father, we do praise you this morning, and we thank you for meeting us here, and we thank you for your word. And as we go our separate ways, may we just have that praise on our lips and ears open and hearts open, and may we glorify you today. Thank you for each one here. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.